Manuscript Releases, Volume 3, Mr. Number 203, Material for Spirit of Prophecy Emphasis Week in SDA Schools, General Topic, Ellen G. White and the Worldwide Work, Day 1. The proposed journey across the plains and the voyage upon the broad waters to the old country was, to me, a matter of dread, but it was the will of the General Conference for me to visit Europe. Day 2. There could not be found standing room for all who would come in. A crowd filled the aisle and around the door. They listened with the deepest interest. The hall was so densely packed one woman fainted. Accommodations for places of meetings are not healthy or safe. Day 3 in the afternoon, there was a social testimony meeting. Nearly all present took part. May 23, 1886. After dinner we rode about 10 miles out to visit an old convent nearly 200 years old. On the way the clouds began to gather, the lightning to flash, and the thunders to roll. And soon came a violent shower of hailstones, some as large as hickory nuts. The cattle, cows, and horses were running wildly about as if distracted. We drew up our cover to the carriage, put on our wraps, and were comfortable, but the horse was drawing the heavy carriage up the rising ground and he made haste slowly. Brother Oscar Roth was driving. He called to men at a farmhouse, who threw open the doors of their barn, and we drove in, horse and carriage. We were thankful for a refuge. A man and his sister lived in the house joined to this barn, for universally the barn is one half of the house. The smallest half is the dwelling part for the family. These two, brother and sister, are strong Catholics and they are devoted to the Catholic religion, but they treated us with the greatest courtesy. They wanted to make us a dish of coffee or tea, or serve us with cake and wine, but all this was declined. They urged us to come into the family rooms. But I could sit in the carriage and look out through the large open doors and see the showers of hail, and I did not wish to go into the house where I would be deprived of this sight. We gathered up handfuls of the hail and ate them. The master of the house unharnessed our horse and put him in the stall and fed him with grain. He was well acquainted with Oscar Roth. We look upon this as being an interesting little bit of experience. After the rain ceased, we pursued our journey. We were free from dust and everything in nature looked refreshed and smiling. We were upon a high elevation and the scenery in forests of dark green pine, intermingled with the bright and living green of the maple and ash upon the mountainsides, made a picture in nature that the penciling of artistic skill cannot possibly approach. I spoke in the National Chapel. The National Minister opened the meeting with prayer and singing. I spoke for nearly 2 hours with much freedom while the people listened with the greatest attention. There was not one who was asleep or uneasy. Day 4. Little did I think that I should ever be a pioneer missionary in the foreign land. But when the call came to go to Europe, I responded. Afterwards, when we were recommended to go to Australia, I went, notwithstanding I was over 60 years old. 10 years I worked in that field before returning to America. I shall be 75 years old the 26th of November, 1902, and yet the missionary spirit is within me, and I feel as if I could go to the ends of the earth, if only I could bring souls to a knowledge of the truth for this time. When we went to Australia, we found a little band of workers there, doing what they could, but they greatly needed help. We united with them in the work that they had begun, and during our stay in that country, about 15 churches were raised up, and 15 meeting houses built, a school was established, and medical missionary work was begun, small institutions being opened in several places. We helped establish a school from the foundation, going into the eucalyptus woods and camping while the trees were being felled, the grounds cleared, and the school buildings erected. When I left Australia, I really thought that I might be back in 2 years. Should the Lord release me from my work in America, I know of no place where I would rather be than in Currumbong. I know of no place on earth so dear to me as Avondale, where we fought so many battles and gained so many victories. In a delicate, hesitating way they said, I suppose you would not have strength to speak to us this evening? I said, if you desire it I will speak to you, for the boat does not go from the harbor till 2 o'clock a.m. We met a good congregation at the Seventh-day Adventist Church at this place. I spoke to them upon the love of Jesus. Fathers and mothers brought their children, and introduced them to me, and I spoke with each one, even the least little one among them. Then we took the streetcar and went on our way to the vessel. The brethren said as we left them, do give us more labor as soon as possible. Do send us a preacher. The Lord knows that we did not come across the great ocean to see the country, or for our amusement. Jesus will give me strength for all that he requires of me to do. I do not understand why I am lying here unable to labor for the Lord. But God understands, and that is enough for me. The Lord is good, and he draws near to me as I lift up my heart in prayer to him. I have a longing desire to get well, that I may proclaim the truth in this country. I try not to be anxious or to feel restless or dissatisfied. My right hand is not sick. From the elbow of my right arm I can use my arm and hand. I have a framework that is adjusted to my position of body, so that I can use my pen. I am able to have my rocking chair drawn from the bedroom to the parlor. My brethren come to me and present to me special things to decide for them in church matters. They can all kneel but me. I try to do my best, and the Lord helps me. It appears as a reality to me that his presence is with me and he blesses my words when I utter them. Truth has never been more clearly impressed upon my mind than during this sickness, and I praise the Lord that I have voice to express the words he gives me. I am able to kneel down now. For more than 1 year I was unable to bend the knees to kneel down, but I am gaining all the time in health, for which I praise the Lord, who is so good to me. Today we took our lunch and drove into the hills. Everything was clothed with living green, and was very beautiful to look upon. At noon we ate our lunch under a large, spreading tree and then turned homeward. And I spoke for about half an hour. A number of unbelievers were present, and seemed much interested. We have seen meeting houses go up, and in each of them I have an investment of from $30 to over $100. The candidates were immersed in a river running through a beautiful green paddock of undulating ground, dotted with clusters of trees. About 200 people came out to witness the baptism, and besides these, there were fully 100 on the opposite bank of the river. An organ was placed under a cluster of trees near the river, and the singing was excellent. 7 precious souls were buried with our Lord in baptism. Last week I received a letter asking me to go again to Maitland. There are 8 more to be baptized. The 2 Scobie girls went forward without flinching. The mother, when she saw so many of her acquaintances present, trembled a little. But when the howling of the mob commenced, she became as firm as a rock. She lifted up her head boldly, glad to identify herself with the commandment-keeping people of God. The evening following this demonstration, a large number came out to the meeting in the tent. 6 months ago there was not a Sabbath keeper in Maitland. Now we have hope that a large church will be raised up. To separate from it seems like tearing me to pieces. We spared no effort to win souls to the truth. Constantly the word of the Lord came to me. Go forward. Annex new territory. Raise up companies of believers. Build houses of worship. Talk the truth earnestly. For 9 years we have been doing this work. In my last vision I was shown that missionary labor must be extended. I was shown also that a paper would be published on the Pacific coast, and that not far in the future a publishing house must be established there. This will be a strength to the work. The bright rays which God has given us will go forth from it to all parts of our world. The beginning will be small, but the work will advance and extend. Our message is to go forth in power to all parts of the world, to Oregon, England, Australia, to the islands of the sea, to all nations, tongues, and peoples. Many countries are waiting for the advanced light the Lord has for them, and your faith must grow. Go forward and upward. God will work in accordance with your faith and devotedness to the advancement of his cause. Material requested for a seminary paper. Infidels are at work to devise means of spreading their poison. The papists are plotting daily the suppression of the word of God, the best means of enslaving the souls of men, and deepening the darkness that already exists. At such a time, above all others, God's servants should present a decided front to the enemies of truth.